West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason, or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
One of the most important goals that God has for His people is for them to develop the ability to discern the holy from the profane. But one of the most important skill sets for a Christian to succeed in living for God is to be able to discern friend from foe. And I want to bring you now in a two-part series, preaching that recently took place in the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church, in which I preached a message titled Friend or Foe. I bless you in the name of Jesus with this good preaching and teaching from God's Word.
You'll turn with me in your Bibles, reading in the New Testament tonight from the Epistle of James. In the Epistle of James, reading there in chapter 2 and also in chapter 4. In chapter 4, we read about enemies. In chapter 2, we read about Abraham being the friend of God. If you'll look with me in James chapter 2, we'll read there first, James chapter 2 and verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled. As a matter of fact, if it's not too much trouble, if I could just back up and read the verse before that, verse 22, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God." And then if you'll look with me in James chapter 4 and reading there the first six verses, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. My title tonight is Friend or Foe. Friend or Foe. Let's pray for the Lord's help in this place. Amen and amen. God bless you. As we're seated tonight, let's clap our hands and give a great shout of praise to our wonderful Savior. Amen. There is such a touch of the Lord in this service tonight. God is doing things in that third heaven, that third dimension, that we heard preached about in the intersection rally that we just came from, and it is literally happening in this place tonight. Just right before service started, one precious family came asking for advice about a situation, and without knowing much details, I just mentioned that we would pray and gave some general advice. And then the Lord started speaking a word, and Elder Claypool started writing down what he was feeling in the spirit. And then later during worship, without mentioning that to anyone, the Lord came upon him to bring forth a message in tongues. And then the Lord gave an interpretation to me that went right hand in hand with what he had written down. And then that precious family said, wow, what a confirmation that God has given us an answer in this situation. The Spirit of the Lord is moving in this house tonight. Folks, you hear me when I tell you God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. You see in this passage that James begins to talk about the fact that you have to make a choice. You're either going to be the friend of God or you're going to be the friend of the world. You cannot do both. And I call on you tonight, if you are wavering, or as the one writer said, how long will you halt between two opinions? I exhort you tonight in the name of Jesus, get on the right side of this thing and say, I am the friend of God. Woo! You hear me tonight. If you are at enmity with God, then it is not God that is out of place. It's you. Amen. The Bible tells us that God is unmovable. He is unchangeable. I'm preaching to you tonight that God is always in the proper position. God is always righteous. He is always holy. He is always a good God. He is always open to you being his friend. He is always open to you having salvation. He is always open to a relationship with you. And if you are at enmity with him, it is not him that is moved, it is you. The Bible says of us that we are movable. We have the potential to be as unstable as water. And the scripture exhorts us to instead be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. If we are at enmity with him, then we are like a rogue asteroid or a homeless planet, hurtling and drifting aimlessly through the darkness of space. And in that wandering, we have only a potential destruction as we crash into some other celestial body because we are out of position. But when the Jewish people were disobedient regarding entering into the proper position, when they were disobedient regarding entering into the proper place that God had for them in the land that he had appointed for them, their only choice after that was to wander aimlessly for 40 years in the wilderness until that disobedient generation was completely died off, except for the only two who had faith and stood up with willingness to be obedient, and that was Joshua and Caleb. You hear me tonight? Unredeemed people are upside down in their thinking. Unredeemed people are at enmity with God. Not because God is unjust or unreasonable or evil or unfriendly, but just simply because humanity chose to walk away from God. It is never God who walks away from us. It is always us who walk away from God. Yet the devil lies to people. He tries to tell them that God is mean, God is angry, God is hateful, God is not trustworthy. Hear me tonight. The devil is a liar. And when he tells you God is not good, something needs to rise up into you to say, I rise to tell you he's a good God. God is ever more worthy of our trust. He is ever more worthy of our worship. He is ever more worthy of our adoration. And he is ever more worthy of our friendship, our service, and our praise. I want to bring you an aspect of the concept of friend or foe. Some of the worst problems that we have in our life come when we are unable to discern friend from foe. Do you remember the story of the Trojan horse? Here comes these wonderful people with this wonderful gift. We've brought this lovely statue for you. And they said, oh, thank you. And they mistook a foe for a friend. And they brought the statue in through their gate. And they rejoiced and they celebrated. Look how we've been blessed by these wonderful friends. Look at this wonderful gift. And unbeknownst to them, hiding inside of that giant statue of that horse, there were enemy soldiers waiting to cut their throats in the night. And as soon as they had gone to bed, a trap door on the horse opens up and enemies come out. They don't have to fight their way through the gate or the wall. They're already on the inside. You invite destruction within your gates and behind your protective walls when you mistake a foe for a friend. I want you to think about the immune system in your body. The scripture says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But in spite of the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we have a sin curse at work in this creation. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve bringing death and bringing sin upon the creation and upon all their descendants, we see wonderful, noble vestiges of perfection, but we live in a broken world. Our immune system is amazing, but still, we now live in a broken world, and we can see, even in the beauty of our immune system, we can see things that are broken. Our immune system protects us from invading viruses. It protects us from bacterial infections. But whenever the host's body is mistaken for being the enemy, the immune system attacks its own host. They call it an autoimmune disorder. And when that happens, there is a torturous calamity that results. I'm told, Elder Claypool mentioned that when he was suffering from celiac disease, thank God for a miracle, God instantaneously, miraculously healed him from celiac disease. Praise God. I'm told he informed us that in his research, when he was living under that torturous disease, he told us that is an autoimmune disorder. He said that is when your body is literally attacking itself. The immune system is attacking its own host. And look at the horrific torture it is. One of the greatest challenges that we face in our immigration policy in our nation right now is we have an immigration system that can't seem to discern friend from foe. How is it that a wonderful man like our dear brother, who loves his family and loves his church and loves his community and loves the Lord and is a hardworking man who is fair and equitable and kind, how is it that he is the one deported while gangsters and criminals and murderers and thugs are not deported? The problem is this system cannot discern friend from foe. We need to pray for our elected officials, for them to be able to craft and pass legislation that will inform our immigration agencies, that will result in a proper discernment of friend from foe. Elder, I'm sorry to keep mentioning your name. Elder Claypool has an inspiration for legislation and an approach that could fix this mess. I want us to stand and pray. I'm not done preaching. I'm going to preach a little more in a minute. But you say, what do you think you're going to do? Do not underestimate the power of the prayers of a Holy Ghost-filled, Jesus' name, blood-bought church. We can pray here, and God can shake Washington, D.C. because of our prayers. I want to ask you to join me in prayer right now that God will do a miracle in Washington, D.C. to help us fix this immigration system that cannot tell friend from foe. Lord, we speak. We speak with your authority. We speak with your power right now. Praying, Lord, praying in your stead, praying on your behalf for a miracle to be done in Washington, D.C., in the heart of every senator, in the heart of every one of our representatives, in the heart of our president, in the heart of his cabinet members. God, that you will get a hold of them and help them to have a wisdom that comes from on high to be able to make a fix to this system. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Oh, hallelujah. While we're at it, let's pray for a miracle for Brother Nicho. Lord, we speak your word with an unction of the prophetic for a miracle to happen, for Brother Nicho to be reunited with his family in the name of Jesus. Oh, I say, hallelujah. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. As long as David, the poet king, turned warlord, so to speak, but he was a battle axe for God. But as long as David was being a friend to God, he walked circumspectly. But whenever David got rogue, whenever David got out of alignment, whenever David got out of his position and became at odds with God, he turned into a thief. You say, Pastor Joseph, what did he steal? Have you never read what the prophet Nathan said to him? He told a story of a man who had a choice of selection of sheep, but he went to a poor man in the village and demanded the only sheep he had. David, thinking of this thief, stood up and said, you bring him to me. I'm going to deal with him. And Nathan pointed his finger and said, thou art the man. What was he talking about? David stole another man's wife. I want you to think of the words of Jesus about a thief. Jesus said, the thief, pay attention to that. Pay attention. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Well, that makes sense, doesn't it? We think of a thief as stealing, but that's not all he said. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Hear me. Anyone who will be a thief will not only steal, they will potentially murder and commit acts of destruction. David stole another man's wife. He later resorted to murder, killing the husband from whom he had stolen, and in the process, destroying a family, destroying his own integrity, and destroying much future yet unrealized benefits in his life. In fact, a lot of those destroyed future blessings were never ever realize in spite of his repentance. And I read to you from James chapter 4. I want to show you an interesting parallel. Think about David getting out of alignment and out of friendship with God, becoming an enemy of God. And in his aimless wandering out of alignment with God, becoming a thief and being a thief that would not only steal, but kill and destroy. Think about that when you read what James says. From where come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence from your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, so you steal. You kill. Isn't this amazing? That's the very next item in the list. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war. Destroy. Yet you have not. Because you ask not. You know, it's amazing. When you have a healthy friendship, a healthy relationship with a friend, and one of you needs something, that one that needs can turn to the friend and ask. But when your relationship is broken, you don't ask. And then if you could even find a way to form a horrific request, he said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. There's something wonderful about this church and many other churches I've been to. We are a people that say, I love serving God. I love doing the work of God. Whenever I ask for the Lord to heal my body, I'm not just asking because I want to be selfish about being healthy. I'm asking because I want to be healthy so I can do a better job serving the Lord and helping people in His kingdom. And then James said this, you adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. I want you to think about the concept of a friend and an enemy. That's going to get a little heavy. As long as everything is perfect, none of God's precepts are ever put into contradiction with each other. But as soon as sin enters the picture, sin complicates things. And sin can get things so complicated that one of God's principles is twisted into being at odds with another one of God's principles. Let me give you an example. It is a godly principle for us to revere civil authority. And it is a godly principle for us to abhor and seek to prevent needless loss of life, to stop murder from taking place. That's a godly precept. Normally, those two precepts are never at odds with one another. But a wicked, sinful Pharaoh once told the Hebrew midwives, when the Jewish male child is born, I want you to kill it. Now those Jewish midwives were godly and they didn't want to kill those babies. They did not want to be disobedient to civil authority, but the godly principle of obedience to civil authority was then twisted such that it was at odds with the principle of preserving against needless loss of life. Whenever God's precepts, because of the complications of sin, whenever God's precepts are twisted into conflict with each other, we as thinking people have to reason out which precept has preeminence. How foolish would it have been for those midwives to say, well, we don't want to kill anybody, but we've got to be obedient to the Pharaoh. So they chose to uphold the more preeminent principle against needless loss of life, while temporarily setting aside the godly principle of obeying civil authority. They even, in an effort to prevent more needless loss of life, which was to prevent the murder of themselves, when asked about it, they even spoke deceptively to the Pharaoh about what was happening. Isn't that another godly principle? That you don't deceive, that you're not dishonest, that you don't tell a lie? But yet that one also got twisted until it was in conflict with another. These midwives made a wise choice. You know what the Bible says? That God made their houses great. You think that means God loves lying? You think it means God loves disobedience to civil authority? No. It means that God saw that they were tested in a horrific test and they had to make a decision and they made the right decision, and so God honored them for it. I want you to think about it. Think about, there is evil in this world. There are men and guns into their car and then go find innocent people riding bicycles and they run them off the road with their cars and then shoot them and stab them for no valid reason. There is evil in this world. There is an enemy to our soul, and there are people who have gotten themselves under the grip of demons and devils, and there are people who are just so carnal, they are evil. I'm telling you, you may not like to think about it, but you have enemies in this world. Every time there are jihadist-minded people who gather themselves together by the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and chant at the top of their lungs, "Death to America! Death to Israel!" Listen, they mean it. Somebody said, "What do we care if Iran gets nuclear weapons?" I'll tell you what we care. They will shoot one at you. There is evil in this world. Yet in spite of that, Jesus said to love your enemies. Now, what I'm about to say to you may sound harsh, but I'm going to tell you, if an enemy came in here, while I am still loving him, if that enemy is trying to shoot and stab a bunch of you, I will take him out while loving him all the time. Why? How can you love someone and yet take action to, as law enforcement says, neutralize them? I'll tell you how. I love that enemy, but I love you and 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 you. And if allowing him to murder you is defined as love, that's crazy. So I'm talking to you about a tough love. I'm talking to you about a love that says, we love you, but if you try to steal, kill, and destroy, then we are going to treat you as a criminal thief. We're going to treat you as a murderer. We're going to treat you as an evil that must be stopped.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.
West Virginians for Life worked closely with West Virginia legislators to do something very powerful. Together, we worked to pass a proposed constitutional amendment, which will be on the ballot for the November general elections. Amendment 1 says, "Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of an abortion." Its purpose is to cleanse our state constitution from abortion and allow the state legislature to exercise its rightful responsibility for control over the funding of abortion. Abortion would still be legal in West Virginia under federal rulings. What will change is that our tax dollars won't pay for an abortion, except in rare cases when the life of the mother is at stake, medical emergency, reported rape or incest, or fetal anomaly. The people of West Virginia will be able to decide whether or not taxpayer dollars should be used to fund elective abortions. Over the years, taxpayers have paid for nearly 35,000 abortions at a cost of almost $10 million. For elective abortions, for the entire 9 months of pregnancy, for any reason or no reason at all. As West Virginia citizens, we have a moral responsibility to end forced tax payment for abortion. If you're not registered to vote, you can register online at the Secretary of State's website. It's fast, easy, and free. Go to ovr.sos.wv.gov. You can also register for free at your nearest DMV or using paper forms available from your county courthouse. Please consider hosting a voter registration event at your church or civic group. A couple of laptops in the foyer or computers in the fellowship hall can get a lot of people registered to vote in a pretty short time. Again, the website is ovr.sos.wv.gov. Please get your family members and friends to the polls on November 6th and vote yes on Amendment 1. Visit the website yesononewv.com for resources such as a downloadable fact sheet, to donate online to help educate the public about Amendment 1, and to order promotional materials including yard signs, window clings, t-shirts, and lapel pins. Again, the web address is yesononewv.com. yesononewv.com. We'll never have another chance to stop taxpayer funding of abortion. West Virginians for Life is counting on you to help with these efforts. Again, it is essential that every pro-life West Virginian vote yes on Amendment 1.